Writing Admin Podcast, a podcast for people working in real-world IT. If you're a sysadmin working at the help desk, a network engineer, an IT consultant, computer tech, who wants to know more about servers, or even if you want to get a job in the field, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm Al, and it's only Al tonight, and this is episode 29. It's a Saturday night, and I'm stuck in a hotel room. Tomorrow I'm doing some work on site, replacing some... adding some extra HP switches, removing some old Freecom switches, upgrading the firmware, and then basically implementing a spanning tree. But I think I'll go on spanning tree on another episode, because it's one of those things where you have to get your head around it before you can really talk about it. What I sort of did maybe do a podcast on my own tonight is because I wanted to just talk about migration to Office 365 Part 2. So in Part 1 we discussed what migrations you have got to get to Office 365. You've got the standard PST migration, where we migrate the PSTs to exporting the PSTs of your existing account and then recreating a new Outlook and then re-importing the PST into Office 365. And you've got the things like where you've got the MailWiz thing, where you can basically point it to your existing Exchange server on site and it basically stamps it up into Office 365. And then the tools you get with Office 365 are cutover migrations, stayed migrations, and hybrid migrations. So last week I talked about, well, in the last episode in episode 26, talked about cutover migrations, where you can basically, it's recommended for using Exchange 2003, 2007, 2010, and 2013, and basically uses Outlook Anywhere. So you basically set up Outlook Anywhere using an SSL certificate, a public SSL certificate. All mailboxes are imported into Office 365. So basically, whatever mailbox you have on your on-site Exchange, it will import all of them. So it's a good experience just to tidy up all the mailboxes before you import them into Office 365. And you basically go into Office 365 and say you want to do a cutover migration. You put in the Outlook Anywhere address and the permission, with a user account, got permission over all the mailboxes, and it imports them in. And it will then do a resync every 24 hours until you want to do the final cutover, when you basically redirect the MX records across. And then you update your SCP and do a final sync, and then you have to go around and reconfigure everyone's Outlook. The next method which I want to talk about is stage migration. This is only supported in Exchange 2003 and 2007. It's not supported on 2010 or 2013. You need to update to... If you want to do 2010 or 2013, you need to use the hybrid method or the cutover method. This stage migration uses your onmicrosoft.com email address account route mail between Office 365 and the on-site Exchange. So what the stage migration means is that you can move mailboxes between your two accounts, so from your on-site Exchange and onto your Office 365 account. So you can still have some people running on-site and then move a couple of people to Office 365, test it, and mail flow for your domain will still work. And the only problem is that you won't be able to do things like shared calendar, free busy information. You won't be able to access other people's mailbox. So if you've got someone on-site, they won't be able to access a shared mailbox in the cloud or look at someone's calendar. But you will get to see everyone in the global address list. But I'll go into a bit of it further. So this does require that you have dirsync or ADD sync set up to basically replicate the data between the on-site Exchange and Office 365. So the first thing you do is make sure you get Outlook Anywhere set up again, and make sure that you've got a public certificate on there and it's all working fine. Remember to use the Exchange remote connectivity test to make sure that that your Outlook Anywhere is working. Then you need to set up dirsync or ADD sync, and that will basically import so that you can have the things like the global address list on both domains, on site, not both domains, on the on-site and the Office 365, so that you can see the contacts. The first thing you need to do is you need to actually create a CSV with email addresses of the email addresses you basically want to import into Office 365. You can also define the password which will be used in Office 365. So if you're not actually using the password sync over Office 365, which syncs the password from the AD to Office 365, you will need to define the password. And when you run that CSV file, that will basically go off and say, oh, you want to pick these mailboxes up, and it will go and suck them in to Office 365. Microsoft recommend that you should not use access to your old Outlook until your migration is complete. They reckon that they can log into their Office 365 account, because when they basically start this import process, they can see that mail's coming in and everything will be there. Basically get a progress, and once the mailbox has been successfully migrated, you basically get an email alert. To import the mail, you import the CSV file into Office 365, tell you're doing a staged migration, and it will basically go off and on-site exchange mailbox into Office 365. It will also ask you to give you an email address, so it will tell you if there are any errors. And obviously, once you've migrated successfully, the mailboxes need to be converted to a mail-enabled user on the on-site exchange. Microsoft provides you some scripts how to do that. But make sure that... what that means is that when it basically says, oh, your mailbox is now in the cloud, and so if anyone emails... if you hadn't converted into mail exchange mailbox, if someone still emails that mailbox, obviously it will sit in your on-site exchange box. So what this tool does, it can basically convert this into a mail-enabled forwarder, so it emails the forwards you to your on-microsoft.tenant email address. As I was saying, there's a basic PowerShell script for Exchange 2007 to convert this into a mail-enabled user, or a BB script for 2003. Once it is done, it will basically, Right, then obviously you need to create a new profile for the user, and you remember to make sure that the UPN name, if password sync is enabled, or their cloud identity in Outlook. And then that Alex should all set up. So, I think I need to check this, but when you do this, I think when you convert into mail-enabled user, when the user goes back and set up the Outlook, it will go and check your email account on the Exchange server, and it will say, hang on a minute, you're now in Office 365, and it will reset up your Outlook to obviously point to Office 365. So you do again have to recreate a profile. There's no OST migration. So again, if you've got a 10 gig mailbox, obviously you've got to get 10 gig up into Office 365, and then you have to pull that 10 gig down again. So once everyone's in the cloud, you can then redirect your DNS to Office 365, and then everyone will be, all the mail will be directing to Office 365, and obviously you can then decommission your on-site exchange server if required, and you can remember and update your SCP record. So basically, if you're moving away from on-site AD in exchange, you must update your SCP. So it points to Office 365. Again, with all the methods I've told you before, is that everyone has to recreate your Outlook, your Outlook profile. So the problem you've got is that you mean you have to recreate the OST file, can't be converted. You have to obviously, if you have to 10 gig up to the internet to get into Office 365, you know, you ain't got to pull it down again. So the last option you've got is a thing called hybrid with Office 365, which basically means to do this, you will need to be running Exchange 2007, 2010, or 2013. So there's no migration period from 2003. With 2010, or if you've got a 2007 Exchange server, you will need to have one Exchange 2000 server with the CAS and mailbox role installed. But luckily, with Office 365, you're doing a hybrid migration, you do actually get a free copy of Exchange 2013 to run on site. This is because with hybrid mode, when you actually migrate everyone to Office 365, Microsoft recommend you still have an on-site Exchange server because the integration, there's so much integration between Office 365 and your on-site AD in Exchange. And they recommend that if you are going to remove Exchange from site after you've gone a hybrid method, is that you speak to Microsoft themselves and they will tell you how to do it. So the advantage of doing this hybrid reformation is that you can move mailboxes backwards and forwards between Office 365 and on-prem. So if you move those users over and you find something breaks, you can move them back to on-site Exchange server. There's also no need to reconfigure Outlook because it's really magical. Once you move the mailbox, it will say, oh, your Outlook has been reconfigured by your administrator. You need to reclose and reopen up Outlook. And when they reopen Outlook, it will connect to Office 365. But I'll go back more in detail in that in a moment. Again, now, excitingly, you can have access to free busy information between on-site and Office 365. There is still a bit of issues between permissions accessing mailboxes between on-site and Office 365 mailboxes. And reading online, and I'm listening to people who are listening to watching YouTube videos, there's still a bit of confusion about what you should be able to access between, like, shared calendars, delegation things. So what they always recommend is that if you're going to migrate people, migrate everyone who needs access to everyone's mailbox all at the same time. If they've got a shared mailbox, move them at the same time. If someone needs to have access to someone's calendar, make sure that you move their primary mailbox and the person who needs access to that calendar as well. The key thing in the hybrid migration is preparation. So the way this kind of works is it basically gets your Exchange organization, talks to Azure AD in the cloud, and then it speaks to your Office 365 organization in the cloud, and it basically puts it all into one big organization, and you can then move your mailboxes between the on-site Exchange or on-prem Exchange to Office 365. So the key thing is preparation. And obviously you need to have resources to obviously have the Exchange 2000 server on site. So if you're running 2007 or 2010, you've got to prep it so you can install Exchange 2013. So you will need Exchange 2000 server with your mailbox and CAS role installed in it. You also require a public cert, and this is to get auto discovery to work and your OWA to work. So you've got one OA address too, so you'd have an on-site OWA, like owa.adminadmin.co.uk. And when you log into that, and if your mailbox is on Office 365, it will redirect you to the Office 365 OWA without you knowing it. So you require a public cert, And you also need to have this configured on your SMTP connector. This is so that you can send TLS encrypted messages between Office 365 and your on-prem Exchange. This needs to be make sure that you've got this and is a third party cert. I'll put in the command line in the show notes, which basically can check that. Because sometimes if somebody imported the cert wrong and put it into the wrong folder, it will go into like an enterprise cert and Office 365 will not be able to speak to your AutoDiscover. So make sure that AutoDiscover works. Remember, go to the Microsoft Outlook Exchange Connectivity Tester and make sure that it is all working. Enable mail replication server proxy is the major thing you have to do. Basically, you enable that on Exchange Web Services. And this is how you see how Office 365 migrates from mailboxes to Office 365. You're not actually pushing your mailbox to Office 365. You are... Office 365 is when you say on a move mailbox, Office 365 asks for mailbox requests and speaks to your Exchange server using this mailbox replication service proxy or the MRS proxy, and that will go to your Exchange server on site and pull in your mailbox into Office 365. You then run the hybrid configuration wizard in ECP, and as long as you've got all your preparation, you've got those things I said working, it should go through and basically it should make it work. I've never done a hybrid migration, but I'd like to see where it's working. This is all the research I've kind of done. So it basically, what it does is it sets up the mail flow between your Exchange Online and on-prem. So you need to make, so this is definitely a true way of sorting out the mail. So you can either have your mail going into your on-site Exchange server and then pushing the mail to the people in Office 365. So if you've got like Mail Semantic Mail Control, McAfee Mail Code, Mailflow, so the mails could be filtered by that. But if you wanted to go through, obviously, Office 365, you've got the Exchange Online protection. So it's just where you want to switch it over. You need to decide where mail is coming in. What this also does, the hybrid configuration, adds a second email address to everyone's email account. So it'll give you your ontenant.microsoft.com email address. And this is done by the recipient update policy. So you need to make sure that the tick box under the, if someone set up an email account, which has got that box unticked, so that what says don't say updating it, obviously they won't get an on-site email address, and obviously that won't work. So there's a couple of PowerShell scripts you can run to check if that's been disabled, and then you have to re-enable. So this basically then obviously sets up the organization relationship between Office 365 and creates the correct auto-discovery URLs, etc. In your site on on-prem. So it knows how to get to Office 365. So when you run the hybrid configuration, it basically asks you for your Office 365 master or your global administrator so it can go and speak to it. Once this is done, you can move your mailboxes to Office 365. And the good thing about this is that when your media has been moved, it will prompt you saying your Outlook's been reconfigured. You close Outlook. Next time Outlook opens, it will go and speak to your Exchange server, and the Exchange server will say, no, hang on, your mailbox is in Office 365. And it will get sent reconfigured to go to Office 365. The only annoying thing is that you need to tell your users that it will prompt them for a username and password. And this will be your UPN, which is basically like, you need to kind of really configure them. You know, we've always been telling teachers to say do domain / username to log in. Obviously, what they're recommending is that you add a UPN to everyone's account so that it looks like their email address. And then everyone knows that their email address is what they put in for that box. But obviously, they need to tick the box and it won't ask them again. But it's just one of the things you need to tell the users, and obviously you can test yourself to do that. So I'll basically put a link in the show notes to the video, which is like how to use hybrid configuration in 75 minutes. It's a really good talk from a Microsoft Exchange MCP. And whenever you can then obviously slowly move my people to Office 365. And when everyone's over, you obviously say you can't really uninstall Exchange. You need to speak to Microsoft if you're going to do that. But obviously, if you do that, if you've got like an Exchange 2007, 2010 box, you can obviously decommission those boxes. But as you say, you can move people slowly. You can do things like so you can schedule it and things like that. So and you get always you can get the free busy information. And it's just a lot more slicker way of doing it. It does, when I was reading all these free methods, I mean, it did look a bit scary running the hybrid configuration, but it looks the most simplest way of doing it. And I think if you've got more than 10 users, I think it's a really good idea, to do it. I think it's, because I would like to have the less conferencing or the less thing you've got to do on someone's PC. So, the other options you obviously got, what I talked about, you can do the PST migrations, the cutover migration, the stage migration, and the hybrid configuration thing. The last thing you can do is a third party tool, which is like migration, which is where you basically, you don't even have to set things up like Alloc anywhere. I think you just literally point it at Office at your OWA, and it basically pulls in your mail and puts it into your Office 365. Apparently there's actually new, again, you'd have to recreate the Outlook when people go in it, but apparently there's a migration widget, premium pack where it will auto reconfigure Outlook for you. And another product as well called Code2, where you install that software on the actual Exchange server, and that software speaks to Office 365, and then you can use this tool to, import your mailboxes into Office 365. So, sure, it's a bit of a short episode, but I just wanted to get that off my chest really, because I've been doing quite a lot of research and I wanted to kind of work it out. So, I want to hope to speak to you guys all soon, but I want to have give a bit of a challenge to, Jerry really. I want to, see if he can come up with, I really want to understand about regular expressions and what grep is in Linux, so I want them to do a show next on regular expressions and what grep is, because I used to use grep and regular expressions, but it's just really confusing to me. So well, thank you for listening and downloading this podcast. You can email us mail at abernabernpodcast.co.uk, and if you want to follow us on any of our social media feeds, just go to the www.abernpodcast.co.uk website, and you can add them on there. So thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you all soon.